jump into the epic world of Avatar: The Last Airbender.
With Nickelodeon's official companion podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts.
Balcony way up top, out there. Welcome to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, citizen. It has been 2 days since the midterm elections, and the big political story today is that there is no political story today. Because we still don't know. We don't know the big questions yet. That's all still hanging out there right now, right? We don't know who controls the House or the Senate, but results could come in at any time. So CBS News has given me this midterms buzzer, okay? And they promised this will go off. This will start vibrating as soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
We acquired this technology from the Cheesecake Factory. This will vibrate as soon as our democracy is ready, or my jalapeno poppers, whichever comes first. Put that right in there. Now, as of right now, Arizona and Nevada Senate races are still undecided, while Georgia is heading to a runoff on December 6th, which pits incumbent senator and choir teacher saying, I'm up here, Raphael Warnock, against former NFL player Herschel Walker, seen here asking, hey, blurry blob, do these glasses I found make me look smart? This is one of my favorites. It's one of my favorites in a long time. So, hey, blurry blob. This is the race, Georgia. This is the race that could determine who controls the Senate. So both sides of the aisle will be pouring all of their resources into the Peach State, but there's one specific resource the GOP would like to keep out of the state, and that's former President Scooby Douche. Here's why. Here's why the nervousness, okay? The Republicans are anxious that the former president could poison the well, with one insider saying he is toxic to a lot of Georgia voters. It's a distraction. Yes, they don't want the former president saying something stupid that could distract from Herschel Walker saying something idiotic. And the other reason they're worried about the former president sticking his mushroom cap into the door hinge of democracy is because they feel like he really screwed them in the midterms with his terrible candidates and his terrible terribleness. So the right-wing news machine has begun to turn away from him. Yesterday, Fox News and The Wall Street Journal ran headlines calling him a loser. And today, the New York Post compared him to Humpty Dumpty, saying, Don, who couldn't build a wall, had a great fall. That's the New York Post. Wow. It's not a positive sign when a print newspaper calls you a failure. It's like getting a scathing critique from a rotary phone. Yesterday, there was an evacuation order from Mar-a-Lago. This was because of a storm and not, as I assumed, because of a toxic burger fart. You see, at 3 a.m. this morning, Category 1 Hurricane Nicole made landfall not too far from the former president's home and club. But aides say the former president was not leaving, okay? But he's fine, okay? He had the staff board up all the windows at Mar-a-Lago with classified documents. Okay? And hold on. What's that? What? That, oh, my buzzer. That's my buzzer going off. Do we have House or Senate results? Ooh, even better. My jalapeno poppers. Mmm. This is going to change the balance of power in my tum-tum. I'm going to save that for later. You know what's even better than jalapeno poppers? Room temperature jalapeno poppers. It may only be a matter of time, though, because some news outlets like Politico are saying that the GOP is still poised to capture a narrow majority in the House. I know, I understand the feeling, but in times like these, I remember the words of former President Obama.
Don't boo, vote.
But, yeah. But we voted already, so go ahead and boo. If the GOP does take the House, the man expected to be in charge is current House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, seen here describing Mitch McConnell's beautiful breasts. It's really just... Even though the GOP does not officially control the House yet, yesterday, McCarthy formally announced his run for Speaker, which is no surprise because, according to some insiders, McCarthy has been measuring the drapes for years. And the interns in his office are already expected to call him Mr. Speaker. Yikes, having interns call you by a title you don't even have is pretty pathetic.
I have the ranch for your jalapeno poppers. Aragorn, son of Arathorn, heir to the throne of Gondor and Arnor.
And Gondor will answer. I ordered the blue cheese.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
Thank you, Maya. Maya the intern, everybody. Now, McCarthy... McCarthy should be careful what he wishes for, because every recent Republican Speaker of the House has hated the job. GOP members are famously the most unpleasant people from every town in America. You think people like Marjorie Taylor Greene? They sent her to Congress to get her the out of Georgia. And McCarthy, the thing is, even if he gets it, even if he gets it, McCarthy's gonna have no leverage. The House GOP shanked this election so bad that even if they win, they'll be left with a razor-thin majority, and you do not want to give these people razors. Or really, anything sharp of any kind. In exchange for voting for him, some far-right House members are pressing for a rule change that would make it easier to topple the Speaker. That's a shaky start to any relationship. It's like going on a first date and saying, "It's so nice to meet you. I'm Brian, and this is Leonard, my divorce lawyer." In the tech world, there's an update on Meta CEO and man who told his barber, "Give me the terrible." Mark Zuckerberg. Right now, his company, Meta, is zucked because ever since Mark decided to go all in on the metaverse, Meta's value has plunged by $700 billion. As you can see, it's made Zuckerberg very upset. Or confused, or happy. There's no way to tell. And with the company in a financial tailspin yesterday, they announced they're laying off 11,000 employees, or about 13% of their workforce. Now, losing your job is never easy, but it's really bad when you get fired in the metaverse. Jim, we need to have a serious talk. Meet me on Unicorn Island. Unfortunately, Jim, we've had to make some staff changes. Please follow Marcy from HR. Can't miss her. She's the 9-foot-tall purple octopus over there talking to all those crying rabbits. Why don't you hop on over? Meta's not the only troubled social media company. There's also... There's also Twitter, which is now run by new CEO and ring bearer who threw a tantrum and swallowed both bands, Elon Musk. Musk bought Twitter for $44 billion, and ever since, he's been desperate for a way to make that make sense. First, he said he was going to charge $20 a month for verification to anyone who wanted it, then changed that to $8 per month. That meant anyone could impersonate someone else for $8 a month without any vetting, which led to things like a fake official Nintendo account tweeting Mario flipping the bird.
It's-a-me, Mario! Every advertiser's a nightmare! Watch me slap my genitals against this turtle. Let's-a-go! I'm gonna show the princess my peach.
Lots of folks took advantage of being able to just buy verification, including the brand new official Jesus Christ. Of course, this was all foretold in the Gospel of Matthew when Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I will give you my hashtag hot takes on the Love is Blind finale." Twitter quickly realized they messed up, so to differentiate between people who paid for a verified checkmark and actual verified accounts, they added a second gray official checkmark under the blue checkmark. But how will I know if that checkmark is officially checkmarked? I need to know if it's the real Captain Crunch asking for feet pics. But runs a tight ship. Captain runs a tight ship. Aye, aye, Cap. But one day later, Twitter rolled back the gray check marks with Musk tweeting that he wants blue checks to be the great leveler. Oh, don't worry, Elon. I'm pretty sure you're going to level Twitter. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Emily Blunt.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wild Card, wherever you get your podcasts. Only from NPR.
I just want to give a shout out and grateful thanks to everyone in our armed services. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, and you check out our dome has the insignia of so many of the armed services. And in the back of our house, is this true, Mark? Right now, we have two World War II veterans in the back of our house right now, each 100 years old. Those two gentlemen right back there. Thank you, gentlemen. And now, ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight is a talented actress you know from The Devil Wears Prada, A Quiet Place, and Mary Poppins Returns. She now stars in the 6-part Western series, The English. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Emily Blunt.
Thank you. Wow.
Now that is an outfit for a show, man. That looks
I know,
fantastic.
It's like...
Extraordinary. Whoa! They've already bought the tickets. You
I know,
don't have
I know.
To.
Sorry. All right. It's kind of like Liberace. Liberace's PJs.
That's very nice. Lovely to see you again.
You too. How are you?
Always. I'm good. I'm a little tired. You know, election week, live show, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
How are you holding up over there?
Yeah, I'm all right.
All right, yeah.
Oh, over there, as in...
No, over there in that chair, not...
I thought you meant in England.
You know? Yeah, no, you live off the coast of New York and Brooklyn.
Exactly.
We've talked about this before. I just want to get into this real quick and we'll move on. You know I'm coming for your husband, John Krasinski, the next time he's on here.
I know,
In a couple of weeks.
I know.
He was on in the little room up there and we arm wrestled right there. And you can tell how it turned out by how worried Evie looks right over here. But could you do anything to help me out? Could you soften him up? Could you
give him some dead arm punches and stuff?
Just feed him a lot of starch or something. Just get him logy
before
he comes on.
I feel like you're in luck because he has been directing nonstop. He has had no time to work out. His arms are like noodles.
So he's not Jack Ryan Jack right
now? No. Like, no. And I wouldn't say he's Fat Ryan, but he's not Jack Ryan. I feel like one of my false eyelashes just fell out.
Let me see.
Do you ever get that feeling when the one's just dangled right out?
Mine are all real, darling.
Yeah?
I wouldn't know.
course they are.
Yeah, I don't.
You wake up looking like this.
I know.
I know.
What's it like to wear makeup?
I don't know. It's just like it's. You're like I've never heard of that concept, right?
Yeah. You have a wonderful person in your family. Your sister Felicity, for those who don't know, is married to Stanley Tucci.
Yes.
So do you guys? For Thanksgiving, do you do a blended Thanksgiving? Do they come over?
Yeah.
Really?
What would we call it? A Bluntucci.
Mm-hmm.
We have gone to them. They have come to us. He's an amazing cook, but she's an amazing cook as well.
Mm-hmm. Who tends bar at
Stanley.
Thanksgiving?
I mean, Stanley makes a fantastic Christmas Cosmo and all kinds
and
of
And Negroni got very famous,
He got, can you believe that? Mm-hmm. He's a sex symbol now.
Here's the thing is that I totally buy it because I've always because talent is a great aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you're shocked that he's become this sort of like I would say silver fox, but there's nothing on the roof.
There's nothing on the roof. Yeah. He's I think he's shocked.
I don't think he is.
No, I think he is.
Really? He doesn't act like he is.
Well, true.
He acts like finally they've noticed.
It's true.
As well, he should.
Yeah. But it's amazing that it took a sort of irreverent video on Instagram that my sister told him to post, and then he became this sex symbol. But I asked him, I said, do you like it deep down? Like, do you love being a sex symbol? And he goes, I mean, yeah.
He's honest. That's sexy.
Yes.
Now, talk about sexy. Every night before I come out here, and this is true, when I'm being made up, spoiler, when I'm getting made up, we watch Ina Garten.
Oh.
Every night I watch a new recipe
Doesn't
or whatever it is.
Doesn't she make you happy?
She's so wonderful. She's lovely. Here you are with Ina right
divine.
There. Friend of the show. She's brought it many times.
If you went on the show.
Tell the people what you did. You went on her show.
So she has this wonderful show called Be My Guest, and you go on and you cook something with her, and you just hang out with her and drink with her. I mean, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just divine with those beautiful twinkly eyes. Like, why do you watch her? Do you watch her because it keeps you calm?
I love process. I love one thing becoming another thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's very friendly and bubbly and gracious and also kind of no nonsense. Like, you know, jarred sauce is okay. Like, I love that feeling.
Yes.
And everything she makes, I want to eat.
Yeah.
You know, and she sent me some presents over the years. We did a bit over COVID. She sent me a cocktail shaker, literally this big, and a martini glass that I could snorkel
in. Oh, yeah, because she did the massive...
Yeah,
she did the big Cosmo.
Cosmo,
did she take the whole thing down? Drink the whole thing? Sorry, that is English, but did she drink the entire thing?
She did take it down. Yeah.
Did she take it down?
Take it down. Yeah. I didn't last that long. I don't actually know.
Well, she would love it if you would go on. What would you cook if you went on?
I would make something of hers.
I hear you make a really good banana bread. They told me your banana bread
really?
Is really good, and that
you make it sound much classier than it is.
Yeah, and they
a banana kind of, bread.
A banana bread, and you went around offering it to people who work on your show.
I often bring in baked goods around
here. Come on, are you the cutest?
Well, no, Stanley is evidently.
No,
Stanley is.
He's the sexiest.
But
you're the cutest.
The thing. They told you it was good. Because when they're your employees
really
and they say
good.
It's good, there's no way of knowing if it's actually good.
They said it was delicious and moist, and I don't like that word, but they liked it.
Not even in your banana bread?
No, I don't. I would rather have a dry banana bread.
We have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more Emily Blunt, everybody. Stick around.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Emily Blunt, now you're starring in a new Western series called The English.
Yeah.
You're also executive producing it.
Yes.
And is that...
Thanks, girls.
How do you like executive producing it?
I like it very much.
You have to add meetings to your other jobs.
You do. I mean, I feel like during the course of shooting, I just do the acting stuff. But I love the preamble to it. I love building stories. I loved the whole creative process. And I love the aftermath. I love the... color timing and the editing and the music. I'm just a geek for it. So it's become something. I've been around the block, a while now, so I don't want to just act.
You've been around the block
in Hollywood,
now.
Yeah.
I suppose so. I suppose so.
Yeah.
It's a Western, and there's a big Western revival
resurgence,
right
yes.
now.
Yes.
But of course, in a Western, I mean, you got to ride.
Yeah.
And how are you getting along with the horses, which are really co-stars?
Well, they are. I mean, I trained for about 3 months before we did this, because I feel like every actor puts on their CV that they can ride.
Sure.
It's sort of one of those things.
Of course,
like,
yes.
Like you saying that you wear no makeup. It's just one of those things that you say, and it's not true, but
that's
it's
true.
Like...
Exactly, yeah. You got to.
But I said I could ride, which really meant sort of just hanging on for dear life.
Sure, yes.
So then you have to really learn how to ride if you're in a Western. And I
sure.
loved it. I loved learning how to ride. I'm very allergic to horses, which is a...
That's a terrible
strange compromise on a...
Yeah. Do shots or something like that?
No, I did sort of a massive tranquilizing... antihistamine every day.
Okay. Massive dose or literally a massive
one? Literally one like that.
Wow. A horse pill.
A horse pill, literally.
Mm-hmm. We have a clip here. Do you want to describe to the people what's going to happen? I already know, and I want to let you know that this doesn't happen very often. I was affected by a clip. It got me. You reached right into the ribcage.
And kidnapped you directly.
Kidnapped my heart with this little clip.
Oh, God. I love that. Okay. Well, this is a clip, I think, where I am asking my co-star... Chaske Spencer, who plays this Pawnee scout, who I need his help to go on this revenge mission. This is a very long pitch, I'm so sorry. Revenge mission to find the guy who killed my child. And I'm sort of begging him to come and help me, because I need his help, because she's sort of ill-prepared for this gauntlet ahead.
Jim.
Okay.
You did not just come back for that bag. Or if you did, the bag made you do it.
This is my medicine, my family's.
And this is mine. This is my son's. He is dead now. And up on Powder River, there is a man trying to forget that he ever existed. So I'm gonna go up there to remind him. And when I have, it'll be the last thing he ever hears, I swear it.
Got me again. Look at that. Can't fake that. Got me again.
This show's gonna ruin you.
Is it gonna kill me?
It's going to destroy you then, because that's sort of like the warm-up act.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look
how, God, you are the cutest. Look how sweet.
That was good acting. You acted all
good
at me.
Good, thank you.
You acted all good at me. What am I supposed to do? I'm defenseless over here. I'm tired. I'm really tired.
I understand.
You know, I'm all weepy these days.
I know, I get it. A little wobbly all the time.
A little bit. So here, I got to ask something. Since you're English, before we go here, you know, we've seen a lot of curtsying in England recently with the passage of Her Majesty and His Majesty's coming in. And, of course, Liz Truss, when she was the last person appointed by the Queen to be Prime Minister, and her curtsy was so bad that it's generally accepted that she killed the Queen with her curtsy. You saw her curtsy, right? It's not a curtsy. She kind of did this. She kind of went like that.
She
kind of did that.
But don't you think you get in that position, then you freeze with fear, and you don't know, and your legs don't work, and you don't know what to do.
No, you shouldn't be Prime Minister. I
understand.
What I want to ask you is that someone who has... You've met a royal. What's happening here?
Well, I was 4 years old, and I presented her with some flowers.
Who is this? Princess Margaret.
Princess Margaret.
There you go.
Now, look, I don't know if you can quite see, but I'm in a very deep lunge.
Keep going back there, Jim.
Which is, I guess, what I thought was a curtsy. There we go.
Sure, it's good for the quads. Good for the quads. So, do you know how to curtsy? I imagine you do.
Do you know, as part of my workout routine, I work out with this amazing trainer called Monique Eastwood, and we do these, we do curtsies. It's good for your booty.
Can you show me how to curtsy?
I mean, I don't know if I can do it in the heels, but we're going to give it a go.
All right, okay, what do we... So,
will you hold my hand in case I...
Of course.
Look at this.
So,
okay.
Meeting Your
Majesty, so this is how you should curtsy like that. But this is very deep curtsy. You could do a little one, like a little... Hmm?
So what,
like
what's the good one? What's the good one? How do I do it?
Okay,
so
get that leg right behind you.
Yes, yes.
And you feel it right in your left...
Go
on.
Ladies and gentlemen, the English premieres tomorrow. We'll go
Let's
out
do
with
it together.
It. The English premieres tomorrow on Prime Video. Emily Blunt, everyone. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Pod Show listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.